spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, I Never Saw a Summer, was written by Virginia Mazur and is presented as a tribute to the work of the New York Herald Tribune Fresh Air Fund.
In the book of Jewish prayer, there is this benediction on seeing the first trees and blossom. Praised art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hast made thy world lacking in nothing, but hast produced therein goodly creatures and goodly trees, wherewith to give delight unto the children of men. In New York City's tenement districts, you never see a tree. You never see summer. You can hear it, you can feel it, you can smell it, but you never see summer.
Give me a nickel for ice cream, Ma.
What's the matter with you? You had a nickel today.
Oh, Ma, please, it's so hot.
I told you no. Now get out of here, Larry, and stay out. I've got my washing to do.
And if you know it's summer by the radios turned up full blast and the crying babies that can't sleep for the heat. You know it by the water hydrants turned on in the streets, by the smell of garbage and halls, by the blistering sidewalks and the sticky feel of melting asphalt. You smell it, you feel it, you hear it, but you never see summer.
Hey, Johnny, what's the matter? Who got hurt?
The Johnson kid. His ball went in front of a truck.
Crazy kids.
Get his mother,
why
Johnny.
Don't they stay out of the street? Larry! Where are you, Larry? You come inside and stay in. That poor woman. Why don't they stay out of the street? Why don't they? Oh, I don't know. Just why? Why? Why?
Yes, you hear it, you smell it, you feel it, but you never see summer. Seventy-seven years ago this June, a minister in a little Pennsylvania hill town told his congregation what it was like to be a child in New York City in summer. He'd lived there. He knew.
You never see summer at all. I knew a slum child once who screamed when a butterfly brushed against him. He'd never seen a butterfly.
That first summer, the people of Sherman, Pennsylvania, threw open their homes to 60 children from the Lower East Side of New York. Today, this act of brotherly love has become a national movement known as the Fresh Air Fund and is sponsored by the readers of a great metropolitan newspaper. Readers who are in every state of the Union. Through the Fresh Air Fund, over 12,000 children leave New York City for the country to live in camps or with families in their homes. Let me tell you the story of one of these children. His name is Lawrence Weldon, and he lives in New York, in East Harlem.
Larry, where are you going?
Oh, nowhere.
I've told you and told you. You've got to stay off that street.
All the kids are down there. Ma, it's lonesome.
It's better to be lonesome than dead, son.
Like Larry Johnson? I saw him, Ma. After the truck went over him, blood was running all out of him, and he just...
Hush up, Larry. He had no business in the street. And you're going to stay off of them if I have to lock you in.
Oh, Ma.
Now, don't start sniffling.
Wish.
What, son?
Oh, I don't know.
I know, but this is the way it is. And the world won't change just for Lawrence Weldon.
But the world does change. 77 years ago, a minister preached a sermon about brotherly love that opened the homes of Sherman, Pennsylvania, to New York City's slum children. Since that time, there have been lots of changes in the world. We've had 4 wars, the airplane, skyscrapers 3,492 feet tall. Now we have the atom bomb. But the slums remain. Sometimes it seems the more things change, the more they stay the same. We still have our slums and children growing up in them. But thank God we still have people worrying about the children. We have people like Ruth Levinson, an ordinary housewife in an ordinary upstate New York town.
They're back, Sam.
Hmm? Who's back?
The red-winged blackbirds. I think they're nesting in the maple tree.
Oh.
Sam, sometimes I feel like holding my breath. It's too good.
Yeah. Yesterday you were squawking because the washing machine broke down.
So much trouble in the world. And here we are, you and me and Danny. Mm. Did you notice my delphiniums are in bloom?
I thought that was larkspur.
Yeah. Danny likes it out here. Fell asleep as soon as they rolled his carriage out.
Oh, fine. He can keep us awake all night tonight.
Oh. Let's don't ever take it for granted.
What? Sleep? I never will.
Now, don't kid me. You know what I mean. This isn't the whole world. This house we live in, this little country town. Just think, suppose our parents hadn't come to America. Suppose they'd stayed in Germany or Poland.
Well, then you and I wouldn't be here.
We might not be anywhere. Did you see the pictures of those children in the newspapers this morning? I don't remember it, but I was born in a tenement, Sam. Used to sleep in a dresser drawer. And in the summer, they'd put me out in the fire escape to get some air. And now, here's Danny asleep under a maple tree.
I know you're leading up to something, Ruth.
Well, I think it was those pictures of the children that started me thinking. Suppose it was Danny. Now, we do have an awful lot of room here, you know, Sam, and there's the yard to play in. You could put up a swing.
Ruth, what are you talking about?
They're asking people who live in the country to invite a child from New York this summer. You know how awful it is there if you don't have any money. The heat...
Now, Ruth, wait a minute. What are you...
It's only for 2 weeks. Sam, let me. Let me take a child.
You're crazy.
All right, I'm crazy. I hate the word conscience anyway. It sounds so grim. I'd rather call it crazy.
Look, we got our hands full. A new baby.
Talk me out of it now. It's like the time you lent Joe that money. Mm. We couldn't afford it, but you had to do it. The world isn't just you and me and Danny.
But you'd get all worn out. The washing machine will break down, and then you'll cry on my shoulder.
Oh, I know it. I'm selfish. I like life to be safe and tidy. Most of the time I do. So when I do want to do something that's bigger than myself, don't stop me. If you do, Sam, the world will shrivel and shrivel. And we'll shrivel with it, all of us. Danny, too. Sam, I called Mr. Adams at the paper today, and he told me that there was a local fresh air fund committee. He said they'd have to come to pass on us before we could get a child.
You think we'll pass?
Well, we have already. That Mrs. Stevenson, you know, that grows those great big hollyhocks over in the turnpike, she's head of it, and she drove all the way over here to bring me a blank. So all we have to do now is just fill it out, you see?
Yeah. Let's see. It seems simple. Sex. What sex do we want?
A boy, I thought. You could take him swimming.
Now, wait a minute. Whose project is this?
I'm using psychology.
Yeah. Age.
12 or 14, I guess.
No, that's too old. Suppose we get a zoot suit or a kid that started a crap game on the sidewalk.
We don't have a sidewalk. All right, make it 12 or 13.
Okay. What? race or religion, any preference? Any preference?
No. No, Sam.
Ruth, well, it might be easier if we did specify. He might feel more at home.
No. Sam, I couldn't. It's not just fresh air they come for. It's this, too. It's being accepted into a family, into a town, without question. Let's take whatever kind of child they send and make him at home.
Okay. Gee, I wonder who it'll be.
In the Levinsons' front yard, the delphiniums are in full bloom, and the blackbirds are nesting in the maple tree. But in East Harlem, you can't see summer anywhere. A woman, Lawrence Weldon's teacher, climbs the 6 flights of dark stairs past decaying garbage in the hallways to the tenement that Larry calls home.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Weldon.
Good afternoon.
I came to see you about Lawrence.
He's not in trouble, is he?
Oh, no. Lawrence is a good boy. Too good, I think, sometimes.
Oh, I've tried to raise him right.
I know you have, Mrs. Weldon. Now, this is what I came to see you about. I heard one of the children say that you're afraid to let Lawrence play on the street, that after school he stays upstairs.
Yes, it's the truth. Ever since the Johnson boy got killed, I'm scared to let him go out.
Hmm.
I got 3 smaller than Lawrence to take care of, and we're on the back where I can't watch him out of the window.
I know how it is, Mrs. Weldon, I know. But I'm worried about Lawrence. His health chart shows he hasn't gained any weight this year. Now, I was thinking a vacation in the country might do him a lot of good, if you'd be willing to let him...
Willing? We're poor people, miss, and poor people don't take vacations. That's the way it is, and it's not going to change for no Lawrence Weldon.
It might change a little. Did you ever hear of the Fresh Air Fund?
The wheels turn. In the New York City office of the Fresh Air Fund, Ruth Levinson's application for a child is received and filed. In another file is a card with Lawrence Weldon's name on it. One day, someone takes both cards out, compares them, and nods his head. Meanwhile, money is pouring into the fund. $10 from a woman in Poughkeepsie, $20 from a man in Brooklyn, $500 from a man who says he was once a fresh air child himself. Some of this money will go to get Larry ready for his visit, to pay his railroad fare and other expenses.
I've got your suitcase packed, Lawrence.
Okay, Mom.
There's not much in it, but it'll have to do. I put in some newspaper so things won't rattle around.
Okay.
Now listen to what I tell you, son. You got 2 suits of underwear. You be sure to wear one every day.
Okay.
And I bought you a new toothbrush, too. Now you use it.
Okay.
I put in some writing paper and a stamped envelope. Now you write me how you are. And,
okay.
Do what folks tell you and say your prayers. Well, I guess that's all. You better get dressed now. We got to start for the station soon. You better hurry. Now, what's the matter, Larry?
I don't know.
Don't you want to go, son? And after all this hullabaloo, too?
I want to go. I'm scared, Mama.
Scared, Sam.
It's a fine time to get scared. The train's here.
Suppose he's one of those dead-end kids. I wish I hadn't put up those ruffled curtains.
Hey, come on. Looks like they're getting off the other end.
Look, Sam, there they come. They're all girls.
Yeah. Hey, you suppose that he could have gotten lost on the way?
No. Look. There, Sam, there he is. The conductor's helping him off now.
Come on.
Sam, he's so little. In that great big suitcase.
Hi, fella. Hey, wait a minute. I'll give you a hand.
Sam, do you think he'll be all right if I give him a hug?
You open your arms to receive the child. You make up a bed with clean sheets and bake a lot of cookies. You expect him to love the country on sight and to smile his gratitude. It isn't always that simple. Each child has his own past, and that past comes with him. Each child has his own anxieties and hopes, his own fears and pride. You may be disappointed at first.
Sam, you asleep?
Hmm? What'd you say?
Are you asleep?
No, not now. No, I'm not.
Do you think he likes it here?
Huh? Well, he just got here.
He didn't finish his chocolate cake.
Well, he probably ate a lot of stuff on the train.
I showed him all around outdoors. He didn't have a word to say.
Well, maybe he's tired.
I tell you what, tomorrow you take him swimming. He'll like that.
Duck under the barbed wire, Lawrence. Watch yourself, okay?
Okay.
The swimming hole's right down this hill. Kids around here have been using it for 50, 100 years, maybe. Listen, you can hear them now.
Yeah.
Come on, Lawrence. Let's peel off.
I'll watch.
What do you mean, watch? I knocked off from work early to bring you down. Don't you like to swim, Lawrence?
I like it all right. But I'd rather watch.
Look, Lawrence, if you're afraid of the water, it's only about waist deep by the raft. I'll stay right with you.
I'll just watch.
Oh!
Look, what's the matter?
It's broken again. Washing machine.
Oh.
All the baby's diapers are dirty and the... Oh, Sam, that's not what's wrong. It's Lawrence. I don't think he likes it here at all.
Yeah. Getting to think that you're right.
He just moons around all day.
Yeah, it's not enough excitement here, I guess.
I'm about ready to give up.
Well, it's only 4 days he's been here.
He didn't even seem to care about the wiener rose.
I wonder what else we could do.
That handbook they gave me said, in a little town, a child can get a better idea of how America works. Maybe we ought to take him to the city hall or the post office or something.
Hey, I got it. I'll take him down to the fire station. We'll give him a ride in the engine and let him ring the bell. You see? This is a volunteer fire company, Lawrence. Little towns, well, they can't afford a regular fire department, so we give our time. We have regular fire drills, and when a fire breaks out, we all stop work and we go and we put it out.
You go to anybody's house? Even if they can't pay you?
Oh, sure. We don't do this for money.
Well, what do you do it for?
Well, because we want to. Because it's our town, and we feel responsible for what happens here.
Oh.
Lawrence. Money is not the only thing in the world. Oh, Ruth, I don't know. I just give up. I took him all around town on the engine. The engine. Didn't mean a thing to him. I think he thinks we're a lot of jerks for doing something and not getting paid.
Well, I guess city kids do get sort of mercenary. Everything has a price tag on it.
What are you cooking?
Lemon chiffon pie. I don't know why I'm bothering. He never even finishes his dessert.
Well, it's only for another week. I guess the poor kid will be glad to go back home.
Sam, it wasn't such a good idea.
Each child has his own past, and that past comes with him. Each child has his own anxieties and hopes, his own fears and pride. You may be disappointed at first.
What's he doing now?
Just sitting on the front lawn, staring into space. Oh, look, you go talk to him, will you, Sam, till supper's ready?
Oh, he's beginning to get on my nerves.
Oh, go on now. As long as he's here, we've got to keep on trying.
Okay. Call us when supper's ready. Hi. Hi, Lawrence. What you doing?
Nothing. What kind of bird is that?
On the fence post? That's, why, it's a red-winged blackbird.
I thought it was a blackbird. If you had a gun, you could shoot it.
Shoot it? Shoot it, I should say. Not. Look, don't you do anything to that bird.
I haven't got a gun.
Whew.
I didn't think people liked blackbirds.
Well, where'd you get an idea like that?
I read it in a book when I was a kid. They were baking some blackbirds in a pie.
Oh. I see. 24 blackbirds baked in a pie. Sure, that's Mother Goose.
Dad! Dad,
what's the matter, Ruth? Is anything wrong with Daddy? Ruth, did you hurt yourself? What's wrong? Ruth?
All right, Sam, I'm all right.
What are you crying for? What's the matter?
It's just this. Oh, Sam, he left it on the hall table for us to mail.
Well,
it's a letter to his mother. I know I shouldn't have read it, but he hadn't sealed it. I had to know what was wrong. Why he didn't like it here. Not... Oh, Sam, read it.
Okay, sure, read. Honey, I'll read it. Wait a minute. Dear Mama, everything is okay. I've been too busy having fun to write a letter. Mrs. Levinson is very nice. We have cake and pie every day. I leave some on my plate like you told me, but it is very good.
How could I have been so dumb,
I
Sam?
I brush my teeth. Mr. Levinson is nice, too. He took me on a fire truck and I rang the bell. He is not a real fireman, but when there is a fire, he goes and puts it out. He doesn't charge. He likes it. If we lived here and our house caught fire, he would put it out, too.
You thought it didn't mean a thing.
One day he took me swimming. Anybody can swim there. Colored, too. I watched. A lot of kids were swimming and nobody said, don't come in. If he takes me again, I will swim next time.
Not too late, Sam.
I have two sheets on my bed. There's a blackbird in the yard. Oh, I hope they don't shoot it. If they ask me to come back next year, I will come. It's the best place I ever was at, your son, Lawrence. P.S., it's summer here, green all over. I never saw summer before.
Each child has his own past, and that past goes with him. You may be disappointed at first, but remember this. He may not smile, he may not say thank you, but what you give to the child becomes a part of his past, too. He will carry it with him till the end of his days. He was sitting on the lawn where they had left him, the same little boy staring at the blackbird on the fence post.
Lawrence, supper's ready, Lawrence.
Okay.
And after supper, I'd like you to help me. I want to build a birdhouse.
What for?
There are blackbirds. They come here every year. I think they deserve a home of their own. Hey, maybe you'd like to build a birdhouse to take home with you.
There ain't no birds at home, just pigeons. But I could leave it here.
That's right. You could leave it here till you come back next summer.
Okay.
Well, now, let's get washed out, Lawrence. Supper's ready.
Okay. At home, people that know me call me Larry.
Oh. Okay, Larry, let's go.
In New York City, you never see summer. You hear it, you smell it, and feel it, but you never see summer. Thanks to the Fresh Air Fund, over 12,000 boys and girls will leave New York this year to see summer for the first time in their lives. Because of those who care, some of these children will carry with them not only the scars of their past, but the memory of summer and someone's loving kindness. And they will carry it with them till the end of their days.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address and 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Murray Bellow, philanthropist and prominent civic leader in New York City. Mr. Bellow.
There is a well-known maxim in rabbinic literature that effects that when anyone helps another individual, it is as if he helps an entire world. Like God, man has the opportunity to perform great deeds which can transform the lives which they touch. Literally, this is to recreate the world and make it a good place in which to live. There's nothing mystical about this, but as we learned from today's program, it is rather a very practical insight. We saw how a simple act of kindness evoked a response of kindness, and with it, an expansion of personal happiness. The young boy returned to his family and his community with the knowledge that there's a concern for him and others like him, beyond his own immediate environment. Perhaps he learned also the unexpressed, though understood feeling that this very concern and displayed generosity is the source of all human happiness in any society. What the rabbis meant, I believe, when they said that an act of kindness creates an entire world, is that every good deed has a way of reproducing itself in a chain reaction. The kindness shown towards Larry Weldon by the Levinson family becomes in its turn a gesture towards his family and his entire community. The necessity that these underprivileged children be given a chance, at the very least, to be exposed to some of the very fundamental beauties of nature is the same need for all the children of God to share in the joy of his creation and to recognize in the sharing of this joy. Brotherhood, unity, and interdependence. Primarily, we must think of our responsibility in terms of the needs of these children, which stand concrete and vivid before our eyes. All men seek to live the important biblical teaching to love thy neighbor as thyself, to share in the community effort of the kind of work done by families such as the Levinsons is not only to give utterance to this teaching, but actually to serve our neighbors as we would serve ourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Bellow. Our eternal light drama today, I Never Saw Summer, was written by Virginia Mazur. Philip Hepburn was featured as Lawrence and House Jameson as the narrator. Joan Tompkins was featured as Ruth, Norman Rose as Sam, Freddie Marshall as Mrs. Weldon, Sylvia Davis as the teacher, and Bert Cowlin as the minister. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Milton Cadams. The production was under the direction of Ed King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.